I direct your attention this afternoon to the first chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. We'll begin our study with the reading of verse 26. It contains a birth announcement. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. We've just read Luke 1, 26 through 38. Within this brief reading, there's a statement that contains a principle that I believe we'd do well to never forget. It's contained in verse 37. When the angel said, With God, nothing shall be impossible. That's what I've come to talk to us about this afternoon. I believe that throughout this book, there are cataloged many examples that demonstrate the fact that nothing is impossible with God. I begin with our text from Luke chapter 1 to suggest that we're dealing with a God who could cause a barren woman in her old age to conceive. Do you think a barren woman in her old age could conceive? Somebody might say, well, that's impossible. But we need to learn nothing is impossible with God. Mary was told in verse 36, Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. Verse 57 informs us, Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. The fact that a woman in her old age was enabled to conceive a son tells me nothing is impossible with God. That also reminds me of an ancient story involving Abraham and Sarah. Do you think it's possible for a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman to have a son? Why, that's impossible, you might say. In Genesis 17 and in verse 15, God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, and I'll bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I'll bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Perhaps we would have reacted like he did. Perhaps we would have thought, why, that's impossible. But in chapter 18 and in verse 10, as the story unfolds, the Lord appeared unto him, and he was reminded that certainly, according to the time of life, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Sarah heard in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Listen to this statement. Is anything too hard for the Lord? They had to learn a lesson that you and I are learning today, and that is, nothing is impossible with God. At the time appointed, I'll return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Chapter 21 records the birth of Isaac, how the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Genesis 21 and verse 1. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son as old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And so the God of heaven was capable of causing a woman in her old age to conceive. But back to our text in Luke chapter 1. I appreciate that nothing is impossible with God, for he enabled a virgin who knew not a man to bring forth a son. You think a virgin who knew not a man could conceive? Mary did. We read in Luke 1:27, where an angel of God was sent to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Some denying the virgin birth have, instead of virgin, inserted young woman. That's the difference. A good Bible definition of that word is when the Bible says, who knew not a man. Verse 31 says, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And she was amazed by that, as she said, how can this be, or how shall this be? Verse 34, seeing I know not a man. That might seem impossible, but nothing is impossible with God. In chapter 2 and verse 5, we read where Mary, being great with child, and then in verse 7, brought forth her firstborn son. Being great with child and bringing forth her firstborn son is but a support of this principle, is it not? That nothing is impossible with God. Let's look to some other places to appreciate that with God all things are possible. Have you thought about the fact that God created all things by the word of his power? The Hebrew writer in chapter 11, in verse 3, records a statement that might baffle a lot of people, especially in a generation when a lot of people have been made to believe that everything's a result of evolutionary chance. Hebrews 11:3 reports, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You think it's possible for things seen to be made of things which do not appear? Because that's impossible. But you know, that's exactly what God did. Back in Genesis chapter 1, God spake, and it was done, the psalmist said in Psalm 33, verses 6 and 9. 10 times in Genesis 1, you find the words God said. First up, Genesis 1:3, when God said, let there be light, and there was light. If God can say, let there be light, and there be light, and God can say, let us make man and form man of the dust of the ground, and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, and man can cause a deep sleep to come upon him, and take a rib from his side, and with the rib make a woman, and bring her unto the man. I suggest to you, nothing is impossible with God. But also, as you come to the book of Exodus, we find another demonstration of the fact that nothing is impossible with God. When the Jewish people have been liberated from Egyptian bondage, they have the pursuing Egyptians after them. They come to the Red Sea. In Exodus 14 and in verse 16, as the people said, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. They were dismayed. The Lord instructed Moses, lift thou up thy rod, stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And verse 21 tells us that Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. The fact that God divided the sea tells me nothing is impossible with God. Psalm 78 gives a good summary of the wilderness wandering time, from their liberation from Egyptian bondage through the time of their entrance into the land. And in Psalm 78 and in verse 13, the psalmist said of God, He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and He made the waters to stand as an heap. Can you imagine a God who's able to do such a thing? He refers to these things as marvelous things. Psalm 78 and in verse 12. In fact, from Psalm 78, make a good study. Marvelous things. And just look through the wonderful things that God has done to demonstrate time and again nothing is impossible with God. In the book of Numbers, there's another occasion where I'm impressed with the fact that nothing is impossible with God. How that in Numbers chapter 11, we find the people complaining, displeasing the Lord. And in verse 4, they fell lusting. They wept and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? Numbers 11 and verse 4. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. In verse 18, he was instructed, Moses was, to say unto the people, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out at your nostrils. And it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you. Would you have realized, if you had been a Jew at that time, that to complain against the Lord was to despise the Lord? You've wept before Him, saying, Why came we forth out of Egypt? Now, you think about the size of the people. 600,000 footmen. You might think for God to feed such a multitude of people with flesh, not 1 day or two, 5 or 10 or 20, but even a whole month, why, that's impossible. How are you going to do that? Where are you going to get all this flesh, all this food? As Moses said in verse 21, The people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I'll give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them, or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? What he need to learn, the lesson we're learning, nothing is impossible with God. As the Lord said in verse 23, Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Drop down to verse 31. There went forth a wind from the Lord, brought quails from the sea, let them fall by the camp as it were a day's journey on this side and as it were a day's journey on the other side. I'd like to have seen that, would you? As it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth, maybe 3 feet deep, right? And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. What do you learn from that? Nothing is impossible with God. Over the book of Joshua, in chapter 10, we find another example of the fact that nothing is impossible with God. When Gibeon is rescued by Joshua, we find a battle ensues. And in verse 8, the Lord tells Joshua not to fear, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. In verse 12, Joshua spake to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. You think it's possible for the sun to stand still and the moon to be stayed? Somebody said, well, that's impossible. Nobody could do that. But you know, the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people avenged themselves upon their enemies. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And the Bible says there was no day like that before or after it. in the book of Joshua, chapter 10, verses 12 through 14. And so the God who created all things by the word of his power has the ability to stay the moon and cause the sun to stand still. Nothing is impossible with God. In the book of Isaiah, if you want further evidence that nothing is impossible with God, I want you to think about a God who's able to turn a sundial backward. You think God can turn back time? Can he turn a sundial backward? In Isaiah 38, we found King Hezekiah sick unto death. He's told, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. All of us had an appointment with death, Hebrews 9:27, and thus need to have our houses set in order. Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. And notice his prayer. It's quite a prayer. Verse 3, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Would you have been able to pray that prayer had you been Hezekiah? The Lord said through Isaiah the prophet, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. You think it's possible for a fellow who's sick unto death to have 15 years added to his life? We're dealing with a God with whom nothing is impossible. He said in verse 7, this shall be a sign unto thee. What's the sign? He said, I'll bring again the shadow of the degrees which has gone down in the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backward. So the sign returned 10 degrees by which degrees it was gone down. That's unfathomable, really, isn't it? To think that God is able to turn the sundial backward. If God could create the sun, then he has the ability to turn the sundial backward, doesn't he? Nothing is impossible with God. I'll give you another example. In the book of Luke chapter 9 and in verse 22, we read where Jesus predicted the fact that he would be raised from the dead. He said in Luke 9:22, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. You think that's possible? You think it's possible for a dead man to be raised? Let's see. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 26, it is said, unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you. How could that be said? Because nothing is impossible with God. In Matthew 28, when the Marys went to the sepulchre of Jesus, they found an empty tomb. The angel said, he's not here. He is risen. Come see the place where he lay. And because nothing is impossible with God, Paul was enabled to write these words to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You see, nothing is impossible with God. And many, many other examples could be cited. Like in 1 Samuel 14, when Jonathan's armor bearer had learned a little lesson. When Jonathan said, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side, Jonathan said to the young man that bears armor, come and let us go over under the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. What's this Jonathan saying to the young man that bears armor? Nothing is impossible with God. I believe that's the spirit of Joshua and Caleb, who said, let us go up at once and possess it. We are well able. Why? Nothing is impossible with God. As read in Matthew 19 and verse 26, with God all things are possible. And as Job said in Job 42 and in verse 2, I know that thou canst do everything. Job had confidence. Nothing is impossible with God. And we need to have confidence that with God, nothing is impossible. That as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Since nothing is impossible with God, we need to have faith. Like Matthew chapter 8 and in verse 26, when Jesus said, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" They're in the tempest-tossed sea, and he stills the tempest as he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And there may be storms that are brewing in your life, and there may be things that are tempest-tossed, and you might think that it's all lost and it's impossible, and how am I going to go forward? I want you to stand assured tonight that we serve a God with whom all things are possible, that nothing is impossible unto God. In the book of Jeremiah in chapter 33, and in verse 3, through the weeping prophet, we find this appeal that's made by the God with whom nothing is impossible. He says, "Call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And so I need to have faith in God. I need to call unto God. And when I call unto God, I need to pray in faith. I need to ask believing, as Matthew 21 and verse 22 says. And when I realize that nothing is impossible with God, it ought to give me a can-do attitude. I ought to have a positive outlook on life. I ought to be able to say with Paul, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheth me." Philippians 4 in verse 13. And like Mary, who heard those words come from the angel himself, "With God nothing shall be impossible." We ought to have this disposition. When she said in verse 38, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." I need to have that kind of resignation, that kind of contentment, satisfaction, that since nothing is impossible with God, be it unto me according to thy word. The reason that the angel came to Mary was to inform her that she would give birth to Jesus, who would save his people from their sins. You might think that you're in a possible place, that there's no way that you could be saved or delivered from your unrighteousness or your sin, but nothing is impossible with God. If he could cause all of these things to happen, then he can save you and he can save me. In fact, Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief," in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And you might think, "Why, I'm involved in this sin and I don't see any way out." It's impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Don't forget that. And if we can assist you in coming to the Lord, all things are ready, and we stand willing and able to help you. If you'll give God your heart, having heard his word, to believe it with all of your heart, to repent of your sins, to confess your faith in the Son of God, we'll be happy to baptize you into Jesus Christ for remission of your sins. If you've been baptized but you've become unfaithful, you've drifted away, you think it's all lost, it's impossible, nothing's impossible with God, he stands with outstretched arms ready to receive you if you'll return to the shepherd and bishop of your soul. We'll pray with you and for you as you repent. Won't you come while we stand and sing the song?